Alaska Sweetwater. For tonight, you can enjoy this 6-hour, 20-ounce cup until 8 p.m. Plus, he gets to keep the cup. And remember, fans, you can place your bids online and in-house for a game-worn Warrior Wednesday jersey tonight. Your green jackets have been rocking them all season, and now you can place your bid to own a jersey. The in-house jersey auction will conclude in the last out of the sixth inning. The Warrior Wednesday jersey auction and that proceeds to benefit CSLI Alliance for Fort Gordon. Visit the auction table on the concourse. And now let's head down the field for a special presentation. Katie?
Getting your guaranteed maximum refund with TaxSlayer feels like discovering a refund tree has grown in your backyard.
I'm the refund tree.
Sawing off its branches.
Hey, hey.
Beating them through a wood chipper.
My branches! My beautiful branches!
And dancing in its refund rain. Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
It's time for another Phoenix Printing pregame player feature, chatting with the manager, Cody Capella. A couple of home games left this year. How are things feeling right now as the season ticks into its final 10 games?
Pretty good. Pretty status quo. I mean, it is. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't special, kind of the last home series of the year. It's just like the first, you know. It's great to play in front of the fans, and I know these kids and this coaching staff appreciates all the support throughout the year, but yeah, I'd be lying if I said it, you know. You don't think about it, like, oh, this is our last couple games we're going to play at this ballpark, you know, for 2023. So it's been good.
Of course, yesterday, the Green Jackets did it again for the second time this year, a combined 7-inning no-hitter. The last one was, I think, exactly a month ago previous. We talked about what the first one was like. Was the second one any different for you?
A little bit. It's weird. Whenever there's a 7-inning game and a doubleheader there, that both our no-hitters happen to be during a doubleheader. You don't think about it as much just because the game is, you know, naturally shorter with the two less innings. So you look up and you see, okay, no hits, and it's like the third or fourth, and you're like, oh, we got 6 innings left. Oh, no, we really only got 3 or 4. So, you know, they both were very special. I will say that I noticed yesterday's a little later in the game. It was like the fifth or sixth inning. I looked up and said, and yesterday was a 3-pitcher combined, you know. But yeah, both of them were great. It was great for the kids, you know, good celebration after the games. And also it was a little different with this one being the first game of the doubleheader, and then you got to come out and play another one. So
right, and sometimes you would think it would be hard maybe to follow that up instead of getting on the bus and coming back to Augusta like in the end of July, but instead 7-run second inning. You won the second game yesterday in a very different way from the first. Is that something that you appreciate as a manager, that your team can kind of win in all ways?
Yeah, it's just, you know, we've had some games where we had to come from behind all year. Luckily, we started that process a little earlier in yesterday's second game. We got down in the first inning, and then a solo homer kind of tacked on to their lead, and the boys just kept putting together some good at-bats, and were able to put up a crooked number, and it was a, you know, good day for the club.
I got to ask now, we're, you know, 10 games left this year. We've seen, I think, about 60 players for the Green Jackets this year. Has there been a particular player or two has exceeded expectations, either in their performance on the field or their attitude and development?
The guys as a group, everyone's gotten better. I would say some guys that really were here earlier and have had a chance to go up to Rome jump to mind, like a guy like Ethan Werkinger. A guy who put in a lot of work last year and got a lot better. Had some success here in a brief stint towards the end of last year, and really came here and kind of kept going, developing as a hitter. And, you know, this year defensively, he really put in a lot of work and got himself better and was able to get that opportunity. You look at a guy like Owen Murphy, who coming into this year, you never questioned his mental makeup. You know, he really is a mature kid and believed in himself, but just the work he put in with Wes to develop certain, some of his secondary stuff, and to be able to, you know, really throw his fastball in some finish counts with 2 strikes and execute there, you know, kind of expedited his process out of here. So those are kind of the first two guys that jump to mind. But the group as a whole, you know, everybody comes in each day, and I can't praise them enough for the work that they put in, and whether, you know, it's a guy
who
has gotten a lot better with a certain aspect of the game, like a swing, and it hasn't come out in games yet. You know, it's just the group as a whole. It's been great to see all year. And then you think of a guy like Tavi, Ambiorz Tavares, who kind of struggled offensively to start the year and made some swing changes, and he really bought into it. And I think now you're starting to see that kind of play out and come out in the game. You know, because once you make those changes, it's not gonna come overnight. And you know, now we're a couple months into that, and he's swinging and missing a lot less. He's putting together a lot of competitive bats. He's starting to hit the ball hard to all fields. You know, so those three guys kind of jump out, but the team as a whole, you know, I'm proud of him.
Tavares' batting average 45 points higher in the second half than it was in the first half, and the OPS 110 points higher. I was looking at that this morning out of curiosity myself. When I talked to Terry Pendleton last week about confidence, and he was talking about how so much of the job of coaches and Rovers, especially at this stage of the minors, is about building up players' confidence.
Yes.
How do you go about that personally and also as a staff?
First of all, for me, it starts with building relationship as the player, because you got to get them. If you're going to make changes, or even if you're going to, you know, big changes, small changes, whatever, you got to build the trust. So it starts with building relationships, and that's. You know, a lot of times doesn't even have to do with baseball. It's, you know, how's your family doing? What type of music do you like? And then you start to play their music when they come to the cages, or when they come for like infield or outfield early work, you play their music and get them in a good atmosphere. And that kind of expedites the build in factor in the trust process. But from there, it's like, you know, it's a lot of positive reinforcement when you want to make a change with a guy, or tell him, you know, something he might be doing wrong. There's a lot of positive reinforcement before you deliver that message of, hey, this is something that needs to change. Here's why. Here's the proof. And this is what it could do for you. And then you kind of, I kind of end with another positive reinforcement. Like, hey, man, you're gonna do this. You're a big leaguer. You're a big league shortstop, or a big league outfielder, or whatever. You're going to pitch in the big leagues. You know, kind of a positive, negative, positive sandwich. That's kind of a baseline way to build some confidence. But, yeah.
What would be your slump buster back in the day when you were playing in a rough patch? What would you do to sort of pull yourself out?
I don't really think I ever found one that worked. That's why I'm coaching. Honestly, kind of just like I would if I felt like I needed it, I would get to the field a lot earlier, and I would just do non-baseball things. I would want to kind of like be at the field with some time to relax. And that was just me personally as a player when I played. So It kind of gave me the comfort of, because when you're at the field, it's a lot of times it's go, go, go. As a staff member, I get here early and I'm able to, you know, do some work and relax. But as a player, you get to the field and it's like, hey, we got the cages, we got defense, we got BP, we got more defense, whatever. And then we got goer video. So there wasn't really a lot of time for you to just be at the field, which is kind of like my sanctuary. I love being at the field and just chill. So I would get to the field a lot earlier. I'd maybe go in the weight room and, you know, do some like band work or stretch work or something like that, and just kind of relax and you know, try to get my mind off of any pressure that I was feeling at the time.
You mentioned how important it is seeing the guys grow as a team and how everyone has tried to get better. Thinking about over the course of this year, we've had players who have started new relationships, players who have lost parents, family members. How important and how do you guys go about, I guess, not just keeping a handle on where everyone is emotionally, but kind of providing that family type of support for players?
Yeah, first you kind of got to get a gauge for the club, and this group here from day one has been there for each other in any moments like that you speak of. So it kind of just happened organically. Like, it's not something that we had to try to force. But you know, I like to think I do a good job of meshing with players as individuals and as a team. It's part of a job as a manager. But I didn't really have to work hard for it this year. These guys, you know, they're it's a great group, and even the guys that we drafted this year, it's like they came in here and guys like Expo and Clarno and guys like that, they really, really, really welcome people, and they make them feel comfortable from the get-go. So that's always great to have.
Yeah, it's pretty clear to see who the heart and soul of the clubhouse is. Where have you grown this year? What's been the biggest change for you, either professionally or personally?
I think anytime, you know, this is my first year as a full season manager, so that's kind of helped me grow in a way. You know, it's usually I've managed an extended or I've never managed a full season team, but I've been at the full season level. So having to run the club 4 or 5 months once you break spring training is kind of, you know, I don't want to say it helped mature me in a way, but it really, you know, it is a grind. It's a 5-month season, and so that, you know, that's the first thing that pops into my head. But also, like any other season, you know, going back to the players and how they are, it's like, you know, I like to tell these guys, hey, part of the process of being a pro and the process of getting to the big leagues is being able to give feedback to coaches. And whether, you know, that's uncomfortable, could be an uncomfortable conversation to have or whatever, but, you know, in some instances like that where we're working at something and a guy might not, you know, understand it, or he might not, even in some cases they might not agree, and just being able to talk and have them give the players feedback or the coaches feedback, you know, is another way that, you know, us as a staff has grown. And that, I go back to that trust factor. If you're able to listen to a player and see what he's feeling and you know where he's coming from, that builds that trust factor. So ways like that, you know, it's helped me as the manager and our coaching staff grow.
One person who I think really exemplifies that at the big league level is Ron Washington. You look at how the guys at all levels sort of treat him and interact with him. That's a sort of a good example of what in my mind is a sort of healthy coach player staff relationship. Speaking of the big league Braves, last night Ronald Acuña Jr. absolutely mashed a grand slam. He's now a member of the only member of the 30-60 club. What is that like for you? I mean, I know it's obviously he's a long way removed from the lower levels of the minors, but what is he like as a guy when you interact with him down in the complex and stuff like that?
He's outstanding. So yeah, I mean, he's removed from the lower levels, but last year he started the season on the DL and he was down in Northport. So he actually went through extended workouts with us and played in some sim games. So, you know, it was great for the young kids to be around. A young kid might have, you know, done something wrong. We had a couple instances where they did something they shouldn't have done in a game, and he was there to say, "Man, you're lucky you're playing now." Back then, they'd have sent me in the clubhouse or whatever. So it's good for those guys to hear that. But he's outstanding. You know, he's a great mix of like flash and humble. You know,
and he got married yesterday too, on kind of short notice, which was great. That was watching last night's game, Braves Dodgers 8-7. That was like one of the best games of baseball I've seen in a long time.
It felt like a playoff game.
And I think many people think that could very well be a potential World Series decider come October. But off the field, onto the gridiron. College football starting up last week with my UMass Minutemen having more wins than the entire SEC, save Vandy aside. But I know you're a big Miami Hurricanes fan.
Yeah.
7 wins this year, does that seem doable for you guys?
Honestly, it could be 4, it could be 10, man. I don't know. There's a lot of turnover. New offense coordinator, new defensive coordinator. I'd like to be a little optimistic and say that they brought in some guys to kind of, you know, shore up the trenches and give themselves a better chance in the running game and give Van Dyke a little more time in the passing game. And I think the new offensive coordinator, Shannon Dawson, is going to do a better job of using kind of South Florida receivers and letting them do what they grew up doing and getting down the field and stretching the field and letting Van Dyke kind of work with them. So I have a lot of optimism going into the game tonight, but we'll see, man. Last year was depressing.
Shout out Mr. John Ruiz. Instructs coming up, instructional, it's sort of like the postseason workouts, inter-squad games down in Florida. What is that like? For people who don't know, who aren't, you know, around minor league baseball, what happens during that time?
That's a lot of individualized work. You know, you bring a lot of coaches down, a lot of coordinators down, and they're able to kind of get their hands and their eyes on players more in an individual sense, more in a controlled setting where we have a lot more tools at our disposal. So it's less, you know, team oriented, like a fundamentals or what have you, and less game stuff, and more just individual work and a lot of, you know, one-on-one from coach to player.
I think I asked you this before, and this is what we'll wrap up with, but now, you know, 10 games left or 9 games left after today, or including today, do you have a favorite play of the season?
Kind of infatuated with infield play, and I love the shortstop position, so anytime Tavi goes back in the hole, plants his foot and throws over, like the play made up the middle yesterday and threw on the run on a pretty tough topspin chopper, things like that. But and also for the club, anytime, you know, we've had a couple walk-off wins, TC and Selly delivering those, you know, anytime something like that happens and it can energize the club. And I know they have fun celebrating with the bubble gum buckets and the ice buckets and all that. So those are the first thing that popped in my head.
Well, We'll have a couple more chances for walk-offs, and then we'll probably catch up with you for the final time in beautiful Kinston, North Carolina, to wrap up the
beautiful.
Season.
Love it.
Go Canes? What do they say?
Go Canes. It's all about the U. We got a bunch of them.
You got to get a turnover chain for the dugout.
They took it away.
Did they really?
Yeah.
That's too bad. Yep. Green Jackets baseball when we come back. Manager Cody Gabella for the final time at SRP Park.
Attention sports fans, burger lovers, and wing connoisseurs. We need you to check out Carolina Ale House on 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway in Augusta. They serve a scratch-made menu from 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. every day. With over 45 HGTVs, there's not a bad seat in the house. 40 beers on tap, they can quench anyone's thirst. So if you're into food, sports, and fun, Carolina Ale House, the place to be. Visit us at 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway, right off of I-520 and I-20. Hell yeah!
Sometimes we lose, sometimes we win. Sometimes we try to fit it all in. Sometimes we don't know what's in store. Sometimes we find what we're looking for. Sometimes we're rolling easy and free. Sometimes one and one makes three. So much to love along this ride. That's why Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. That would be in Central Time right now. It's 6 o'clock here on the East Coast. R.I.P. It's the legendary Jimmy Buffett here. Green Jackets and Salem Red Sox in action in the second-to-last home game of this 2023 home slate. Green Jackets have won the first four games of this series. They have taken now seven consecutive games against the Salem Red Sox, looking to make it eight in a row against their Salem foes. Green Jackets will have a debutante on the mound tonight, Mitch Ferris out of Wingate, hoping to be one of a number of dogs to win today. Of course, the UGA Bulldogs in action to begin their campaign this evening as well on the gridiron. But Ferris, the lefty, will be going up against another lefty on the mound, Hayden Mullins, the former Auburn man. Those two career combined one appearance at this level. Mullins, a 2022 draftee, missed about 12 months after an injury. And Ferris just selected in the 14th round a few weeks ago. Ferris made three appearances in his time in the Florida Complex League and was excellent. Gave up one run on a home run and otherwise was very confident. Seven strikeouts, two walks. Green Jackets got a great debut last night from Riley Gowans, who went 4 2/3 innings. Gowans did not factor in the decision, but did get a large chunk of the game under his belt. Only gave up one run, and the Green Jackets bullpen held it down in relief with Corey Wall going 3 1/3 innings, giving up just two hits and striking out six before Heomar Diaz picked up his second save of the series, working a 1-2-3-9. Salem's offense has been completely held in check. They have a couple of home runs this week, two for Albert Feliz and one for John Frank Salazar and one for Stanley Tucker. But other than those four, all of which came in losses, no extra base hits. Yesterday, another game where they only had five base runners all day. They drew just one walk. They struck out 12 times. And to add insult to injury, they're going up against the lefty on the mound tonight. Salem, by about 15 points, is the worst batting team against Southpaws in the league. On the other side, the Green Jackets are one of the best. They rank third in batting average and second in OPS against lefties. Ambioris Tavares and EJ Exposito both in the top five for qualified batters going up against those who deal with their left hand. We will take a break and come back. Actually, we'll keep it here and turn it over to the PA announcer for the national anthem here with the White Claw pregame concert singer performing the national anthem tonight. Green Jackets looking to close out this home stretch with another win. Two games remaining at SRP Park today and tomorrow night, both games at 6:05. After tomorrow night's game, we'll have end-of-the-season fireworks, and they will be Jimmy Buffett themed. So wear your Hawaiian shirts, get your parrot head merch,
and come out to the ballpark. Green Jackets wearing their Warrior Wednesday jerseys tonight. There is an auction, both online and in person, to take home a signed jersey for every player and every number this year. You can go to MILB.com/auctions for details. Now we'll turn it over to the PA announcer as we get set for the Star Spangled Banner here at SRP Park before Saturday night action. Just two home games left at SRP Park this season. The Green Jackets have won four in a row, their most consecutive wins at SRP Park this calendar year. Looking for a five spot and looking to make it eight consecutive victories against the Salem Red Sox, whom they have absolutely dominated over the course of this season. Green Jackets, winners of every game this week. They've got a lefty on the mound making his debut. It's Mitch Ferris, the 14th rounder in this last year's draft out of Wingate University in North Carolina. He will be opposed by an Auburn man, another lefty named Hayden Mullins, who grew up not too far from here by some standards. Of course, Auburn about 4.5 hours to our southwest. Ferris, the lefty, will have this lineup to face today with Jostingson Garcia leading it off. He has really struggled against southpaws along with the rest of this Salem team. John Frank Salazar bats second with Lionel James, who had yesterday off batting third. Luis Ravello hits cleanup. He's 0 for 10 this week. He'll be followed up by Marvin Alcantara, who continues to struggle at the dish. Nathaniel Uten had a much better game yesterday. Bats six in the bottom three of the order. Albert Feliz with two homers this week, followed by Stanley Tucker, who hit leadoff in yesterday's game, moves back down to the bottom of the order here. And Norberto Mexicano, 1 for 5 with a strikeout this week. Green Jackets in their Warrior Wednesday jerseys. A green jersey with camo trim and camo collars. The Red Sox in their alternate reds with blue numbers and white trim. Green Jackets wearing those black caps with the gold and black letter A. Tyler Hovick is the umpire behind the plate with Frank Jones up the first baseline. The mound is in sun here, and the batter's boxes are both in shadows. The first pitch for Ferris is taken for a strike. Ferris, one of a couple of Wingate Bulldogs drafted in this year's draft. He'll miss down and in here. Goes to 1-1. Mitch Ferris and Corey Avant, who are both drafted there. Wingate, a Division II school, and another D2 catcher behind the dish. And Nick Clarno, breaking ball taken just outside. It's 2-1. Nick Clarno went to Lenoir Ryan, which was about 2 hours down the road from Wingate. They never played against each other, though. But they now form the battery here. 2-1 off speed, up and away. Nick Clarno doing the catching with Cam McGee at third. Ambioris Tavares at short. Wilver Dung at second. And E.J. Exposito at first. 3-1 downstairs, and a 5-pitch walk to begin the game for Jostingson Garcia. Ferris was a two-way player during his time at Wingate and had some good success in the batter's box as well. He hit 270 his last year with six homers, ended up with double figures of home runs over his last couple of years. Lefty on righty matchup here as he blows a fastball by Salazar. It's 0-1. Fastball, slider, changeup, curveball was his mix in college. We'll see what he uses here tonight. 0-1 is in the zone. It's 0-2. He is quick to the plate. And we have seen a couple of other Wingate pitchers over the course of this season. It's so apparent in baseball. The 0-2 is grounded softly towards third. McGee is there. He'll go to second for one. Quick turn by Verdung to first. Double play. 5-4-3. Twin killing. Nicely done by Will Verdung there. He had to get that ball out of his hands quickly. So two away now for Lionel James, but we have seen some very talented players out of the D2 ranks this year. In fact, we saw Brody McCullough, who is now up in high A in the Cubs organization. He pitched against the Green Jackets three times for Myrtle Beach in the first half of the year. 1-0 is just inside to Lionel James, who's 2-for-10 this week, hitting 242, 45 runs batted in, one shy of team leader Luis Ravello. 2-0, up and away. But as is so often the case in baseball, it's not just about a prestigious school, as this one just misses the four-pitch walk. But if you can play, you will get found, whether you're at a small JUCO, a D3, a D2 school, or out of Auburn, like the man on the mound for the Red Sox today. No score here. A runner on first. Two away after the 5-4-3 double play. James has pretty good speed as Luis Ravello steps in and grounds one down the third baseline. McGee, a tremendous backhand grab. His throw is going to go all the way off the screen of the dugout, and it will allow the man to go from second to third, James. McGee did a great job of getting to that ball. You wonder if he might have been better served just eating it, as it should end up as an infield single for Ravello with James going to third, and that is indeed what they have there. It's a single for Ravello, and then the error, it's an E5 on James, rather, excuse me, an E5 on McGee. So men on the corners, that ball very softly hit, but it found the right pocket of space, and now Marvin Alcantara hitless against lefties this year. First pitch to him is taken for a strike. Shallow leadoff at first for Ravello. The 0-1 is fouled off. Talked about how abysmal the Salem team has been at handling left-handed arms. They hit 199 against southpaws, which is the worst mark in the league. Green Jackets, by comparison, about 30 points above that. 0-2 here. Waved at and missed. Strike three. First pro strikeout for Mitch Ferris. Will strand two men aboard. Two walks, a single, and two left with a double play induced as well. No score through half an inning. Green Jackets to the plate when we come back.
For the early to rise road trippers, the late night truck drivers, or even the bucket list checking baseball fans, your Wyndham is waiting, no matter who you are, where you're going, or why. With 24 trusted brands to choose from, like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, there's a hotel by Wyndham for everyone. Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, the official hotel of minor league baseball. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
No No score through half an inning. Green Jackets coming to the plate against the lefty Hayden Mullins. Mullins out of Auburn had a couple of injuries in college and Tommy John surgery in his last year that sidelined him for all of 2022 after he was drafted by the Red Sox. Now back to pitching in competitive action, making his second appearance for Salem this year. Last time out, went an inning and two-thirds against Fredericksburg. Looked really, really good. Certainly encouraging to see him back out on the mound and dealing. He struck out four and walked one, and he has yet to allow a hit in four and a third innings of action between his two outings, twice in the complex and once here in Salem. Big leg kick from the lefty, and he misses downstairs to Ambioris Tavares, who leads it off for Augusta, and we are underway in the bottom of the first. Tavares riding a 9-game on-base streak, tied for his longest of the year. He's reached 19 times in that stretch. 1-0 is fouled off. He loves hitting lefties. He hits .299 against him, hitting .212 on the season. 7 homers, 31 driven in. Cam McGee, the lefty, and Jace Grady, the switch hitter, will follow with EJ Exposito, the third best batter in the league against lefties, hitting cleanup today. Shadows encroaching on that mound, but the pitcher still in sunlight. 1-1 is taken downstairs. Wilfer Dung bats fifth with Cade Kern behind him. He's got RBIs in the last two games. Pio Boucher hits seventh. Jeremy Celedonio behind him in the eighth spot. And Nick Clarno rounds out the lineup batting ninth. This pitch is just a bit outside. Tried to get the outside edge, but Yorberto Mexicano didn't frame it enough, and it's now a 3-1 count. We'll see how long the leash is for Mullins today. The pitch is inside ball four. Both pitchers issue 5-pitch walks to begin the game. Mullins, one of the top draft prospects out of high school in 2019, ended up honoring his commitment to Auburn and had some pretty good appearances there as a freshman. He only made 4 appearances that year, had some injuries, and then, again, that was the COVID season as well, and did have a couple of injuries over his time with the Tigers, but in 11 appearances his junior year, went 2-1, a 3.63 ERA. As McGee shoots this one foul, it's 0-1. Had good enough stuff, but was shut down after a start against Tennessee in April of 2022. Ended up needing Tommy John, and now, about 14 months later, got back into baseball activity. And now he is on the mound, and certainly looking forward to seeing what he has here. Runner goes for second. The 0-1 hits him on the hand, and that will put men on first and second. Tavares got a great jump there, but the pitch ran up and inside. McGee tried to get out of the way, and it hit his hand at the base of the bat. And now to a board. Good chance here for Jace Grady to get his first hit of the series. He's 0-10, had a very hot road trip, including a 2-home run week last week against, rather, 2 weeks ago against Fredericksburg. Cooled off a little bit since then. Good speed aboard, too, should the Green Jackets want to test Mexicano behind the dish. Lefty on righty matchup. Grady a switch hitter. And they run. First pitch is high and inside. The throw down is not going to be in time. Successful double steal. Stolen base number 21 of the year for Tavares. It was a good throw, but Tavares did a good job of sliding early to get his lead hand into the bag. So men now on second and third. The pitch was called a strike. But a good RBI spot here with no one out. Infield remains back. 0-1 inside. As is so often the case for pitchers after Tommy John, the velo is not all the way back where it was. It's at 92. That was a fastball on the inside edge. It was a little bit higher than that in college. And also, oftentimes the velo comes back 6 to 8 months after you return to play. This one hit down the right field line. It's a fair ball. It hits the chalk, and both runs will score. Grady digs for second. The ball is tangled up in the bullpen, but it's a 2-RBI double for Augusta, who take the lead without recording an out in the bottom of the first. RBIs number 14 and 15 for Jace Grady. His first hit of the series, but his third runs batted in as Tavares and McGee scored easily. Just a little cue shot down the right field line, hit the chalk and rolled all the way underneath the bench, and Green Jackets now lead a pair to zero. Cleanup hitter Exposito at the dish. And on second and no one out. Huge lead at second. Pitch here is taken inside. Expo squared to bunt and pulls it back. Especially with pitchers, you know, injuries, they used to be so taboo for when guys would get drafted and if they would get drafted at all. And barring cases like Kumar Rocker, who was a top 10 pick for the Mets and then that fell through, more and more teams are taking chances on guys with injury history, which is a great thing for the game, as this one misses just up and away. It's 2-0. Especially at this point where the medical technology and the surgeries are so advanced. Tommy John is now almost routine at this point. Obviously, it's very tough and it's still a setback to come back from, but it's not as threatening as it used to be. And it's good that guys get the chance as well, rather than having to maybe find an undrafted free agent deal because you miss time with an injury, especially when you've proven that you can do it on big stages in the SEC. 2-1 here on Exposito. The pitch from Mullins is just inside. Didn't miss by much. That one at 92. So 3-1. Still no outs. Will Verdung on deck. Hitter's count and the pitch is fouled off. He got a pitch to hit there. Fastball at the bottom of the zone, center cut, but couldn't do anything with it. It'll fill up. DJ leads the team, 55 runs batted in this season, still 7 shy now of the league leader, Brett Squires of Columbia. Big lead at second for Grady, and the payoff. Caught on and missed, strike 3. That time dialed up the velo, 93 for out number 1. Green Jackets leading 2-0 here on the RBI double from Jace Grady, and that'll bring up Will Verdung, Mississippi native. Runner goes for third. The pitch is swung on and missed. Mexicano's throw is good, but not fast enough. As a foot-first slide, we'll get Grady into third. I think that'll likely bring the infield in here with one away, even though it is a 2-0 ball game. Green Jackets have run extremely well so far. They've already got 3 stolen bases today. They are now 11 of 12 on the base paths this week. They're now also 6 stolen bases away from 200 on the year. And we've got a balk, and that will bring in the runner from third. Grady scores. I believe that's a disengagement there. I think he had his foot down on the rubber, picked it up with his hand in his glove, and then went back to the mound, which is one of those timing things that, you know, it is hard to get used to pitching in front of crowds again, pitching with the pitch clock. And a chance now for Mullins to dig deep and battle through it. This one swung on and missed. It's 0-2. Mullins out of Hendersonville High School in Sumner County, Tennessee, the high school which Taylor Swift attended back in the day, for whatever it's worth. Oh, 2. Swung on and missed, got him to chase a changeup away and in the dirt. So back-to-back strikeouts here. Green Jackets do lead 3-0, and now the sixth man of the inning, Cade Kern, comes to the plate. I mean, quite the alumni list for this high school, by the way. It's Taylor Swift, it's Diplo, and it's Jeff Jarrett, the legendary WWE and now AEW wrestler. So that is quite the stacked alumni list, as Mullins hopes to become the next one added to that famous alumni article on Wikipedia. 1-0 here on Kern. The righty will take a fastball up high. An arm will begin to throw here in the bullpen for Salem, who have had to use an extraordinary amount of bullpen arms this week, as we've got a ball loose on the field out of the berm down the left field line. They've used no fewer than 3 arms in a game, but that was yesterday when they had to go to the bullpen after the first inning and used 2 guys for 3 innings each. 2-0, and Kern is late to a fastball. Up to 22 pitches now, just 10 strikes for Mullins. 7th double of the year for Jace Grady, by the way, and just a month and a day worth of games. 2-1, outside and low. And I think this is an important game for Mullins, as will next week's, what will likely be his season finale for him. And then he gets the luxury of a full offseason, which will be his first full pro healthy offseason. And then he'll be able to have a full trip in the complex. He'll be able to have a full spring training camp and then come out firing, likely with this Salem team next year. Full count here on Curran. Back-to-back strikeouts for Mullins, looking to retire to the side. The pitch is popped up out of play over our heads here outside the booth. Another 3-2 upcoming. And the pitch. Swung on and missed. Got him to chase again. Same put-away pitch that he used on Kern. Rather, on Verdong will work on Kern. Three straight strikeouts to retire the side for Mullins, but a walk, a hit-by-pitch, and a two-run double. Bring home a couple of runs before a box scores the third. We go to the top of inning number two. Green Jackets leading 3-0.
Baseball fans, introducing Bally Live, the only app where minor league baseball fans can score major rewards. When you stream your favorite teams live, you'll score rewards. When you chat with friends during a watch party, you'll score rewards. And when you test your skills at trivia, you'll score rewards. Being a fan of minor leagues has never been so rewarding. So what are you waiting for? Download Bally Live for free from the App or Play Store and start scoring rewards today.
Premier Networks provides cyber technology and IT solutions for your business. Headquartered in the new state-of-the-art Cyber Technology Center in Augusta, Georgia, and celebrating a decade of IT support in our community, Premier Networks is your local, trusted, and official IT provider of the Augusta Green Jackets. Call Premier Networks today for your free cybersecurity assessment or visit us at premworks.com. That's premworx.com. Premier Networks, celebrating a decade of support in our community.
Green Jackets score three in the top, rather the bottom of the first, and that will send Mitch Ferris back out to the mound here for inning number two. Ferris was used as a two-way player to good effect in his final year at Wingate at 270. And as a pitcher, 89 innings of work. He struck out 127 and walked 16. Just tremendous stuff. In fact, some of the best stuff in Division II. A lot of prospects guys on Twitter were very active about the pick, and that tends to bode well, especially with the opportunity to get him later on in the draft. Does have some experience pitching in this area, as the first pitch to the cleanup hitter is grounded, rather to Uten is grounded to first for the out. Three and assisted there as Exposito takes it to the bag himself. EJ playing first for the second time this week, the fourth time this season. Cade Kern in left, Jace Grady in center, and Celedonio in right. Cam McGee on the hot corner with Tavares and Verdung up the middle and Clarno catching. But one of the schools Wingate played is Newbury, which is about, I don't know, 60 miles down the road. First pitch shot to left field by Feliz, but not far enough. He has two homers that way this series, and this one will be caught by the center fielder Grady, who calls off Kern for out number two. Two pitches, two outs here in this second inning already for Ferris. We've seen some incredible performances from debuting pitchers this week. In fact, of the three players who made their debuts on the mound before Ferris, only one run allowed in 10 innings of work combined. Just misses down and away here, not by much. That one at 88. Ferris, another lefty with a different style of release. Also holds the ball almost like Derek Lowe used to do. If you remember, Derek Lowe was a former Red Sox closer. A pitcher who really kind of held the ball with his elbow extended, almost like a knuckleball almost. He also did play for the Braves, too, one of the many players to appear for both the Red Sox and the Braves. But a World Series champion for the Red Sox in 04 and was known for that funky release where he kind of keeps his elbow very high with the grip of the ball at like the brim of the cap level before snapping down to release it. 3-1 is hit hard to left field. This one going back to the track. Kern is there and he'll make the catch to retire the side. That ball just died on the warning track and a very fast 1-2-3 inning in the second. Green Jackets take a 3-0 lead to the bottom of the frame. Back in a moment with 7, 8, and 9 going up against Mullins.
Everyone deserves a great smile, and Crawford Orthodontics is here to help you, Augusta Green Jackets fans. As one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Augusta area, Crawford Orthodontics accepts most insurance. And whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, we make amazing smiles affordable with 0% APR financing. We love to see Green Jackets fans smile with confidence. So get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourlifeyoursmile.com today and book your free consult. That's yourlifeyoursmile.com for Crawford Orthodontics, official smile provider of minor league baseball.
Green Jackets leading 3-0 here as we go to the bottom of the second with Mullins, the Auburn man, out onto the mound. Probably happy looking at the score, and Hugh Freeze's coaching debut out on the plains. It's 52-14 Auburn over the University of Massachusetts. For whatever it's worth, UMass about 5 points away from the spread in that one with their quarterback out now injured, Tyson Pumachon. Neither here nor there, though. We're here for baseball. Green Jackets leading 3-0. They've got P.O. Boucher in to lead it off this half inning. P.O. Boucher in here. Lefty's gone 2-for-11 this week. Going lefty on lefty with Mullins. First pitch is in for a strike. Good movement there. On an off-speed pitch at 80 miles an hour to begin the frame. Mullins coming into today had looked very good in his two previous games of action. This one grounded up the middle of the shortstop, Ravello, whose throw to first is on time for the out. Held opponents to a 197 batting average in his final year at Auburn before that injury. And again, a small sample size, only 4 1/3 innings coming into today, but had yet to give up a hit, only gave up one run. It was courtesy of a couple of walks that did him in. Celedonio to the plate. He'll take one that skips underneath the glove of Mexicano for a ball. Green Jackets leading 3-1. Just the one hit, though, in that frame. The two RBI double for Grady, who brought home Tavares and McGee and then scored on a balk. Celedonio, the righty, with Clarno to follow. 1-0 is fouled off the mask of the catcher. Boy, the catchers this week have really taken some punishment behind home plate, and I know that is their job, but yesterday, Jacob Godman wore a couple up on the thigh, and then Mexicano wore that one right off the plastic mask. 1-1 pitch. Hit hard to right field, but foul. Celedonio is not a fan of left-handed pitching. Hits about 30 points below his normal average against him, but a good chance here to swing away. It's a 1-2 count, no one aboard in the second. He'll take one low for a ball. That is the next step for Celedonio, too, is just improving the contact rate of pitches when he swings in the zone. Eliminating the chase is one thing, and then it's about bat to ball on strikes, and those 15 home runs show that he's got plenty of power when he can. And he'll chase here to strike out as he will go down swinging. That's been a bread-and-butter pitch so far for Mullins, the off-speed pitch down in the dirt. I think that's a curveball based on the spin, but he now has 4 strikeouts. He's retired 5 straight. Nick Clarno, the next man up. A walk and a hit-by-pitch this week. He's reached in each game he's played. Right-handed catcher. In the box, first pitch to him is taken for a strike. It came out of the glove of Mexicano, and I think Clarno thought it was going to be called a ball because of that. Looks like it got a little bit of the zone. Now the 0-1 bounces in. 58-foot pitch there, and it'll even up at 1-1. Mullins shaky to start, but he has battened down the hatches here. He's struck out 4 of the last 5 men he's faced. 1-1, up and away.
at 35 pitches to work with last time out. That was pitch number 36, so likely that he can get maybe up to 50 today as they continue to stretch him out here at the end of the season. 2-1, up and in, and it will go to a hitter's count here, 3-1. Lots of kids in the house today. There was a big baseball tournament in the area, the Future Pros League for kids from the ages of 8 to 13, as Clarno fights this one foul. And so a lot of those all-star performers were in the house. They had a pregame parade and everything, and got to do some pregame autographs with Dawson Diamond behind home plate. A very buoyant crowd here on the second-to-last home game of the season. 3-2 to Clarno. Is taken high ball 4. Fastball rode up and away. So the first base runner since Jace Grady's double will extend the inning. And now Tavares, who walked to begin the game, gets the second crack at Mullins. Tavares extended the on-base streak to 10 games with that first plate appearance. 6 for 14 this week with 4 walks, a double, and an RBI. First pitch to him here is a breaking ball for a strike. And you think these couple of outings for Mullins are less about pitch mix necessarily and more about reconnecting the muscle memory of what it's like to pitch in live game action. 0-1 is sliced foul. So often with pitchers coming back from Tommy John, it's one thing to be healthy enough to pitch again. It's another thing to build up the trust from brain to arm. We've talked with Jared Johnson, who had TJ, about that, and other arms as well. Runner goes for second. It's taken high ball 4. Mexicano's throw down is in time. Clarno's caught stealing to end the inning. Tavares is left at the plate, a walk, and none left. As just the second time this week Augusta's made an out on the base path, will retire the side. We go to the third. Green Jackets still leading 3-0.
Attention sports fans, burger lovers, and wing connoisseurs. We need you to check out Carolina Ale House on 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway in Augusta. They serve a scratch-made menu from 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. every day. With over 45 HDTVs, there's not a bad seat in the house. 40 beers on tap, they can quench anyone's thirst. So if you're into food, sports, and fun, Carolina Ale House, the place to be. Visit us at 203 Robert C. Daniel Jr. Parkway, right off of I-520 and I-20. Hell yeah!
Sometimes we lose, sometimes we win. Sometimes we try to fit it all in. Sometimes we don't know what's in store. Sometimes we find what we're looking for. Sometimes we're rolling easy and free. Sometimes one and one makes three. So much to love along this ride. That's why Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Top of the third. Green Jackets on top, 3-0. Ferris back out onto the mound. Augusta leaves Tavares at the plate on Nick Clarno's caught stealing. 9-1-2 due up this half inning. It's Mexicano, Garcia, and Salazar. First pitch is swung on and missed. One hit. That was an infield single back in the first for Ravello through two frames of action. There is an arm up and warming for Salem now. As this one is taken high. Another southpaw, which narrows it down a little bit. It's likely Noah Dean, who we have not seen this week. And the 1-1. Swung on and missed. Gotta ask Ferris after the game today, what is it with this grip? It's almost, he holds the ball with his fingers outstretched like you would hold like a dart, almost. And he's slinging darts here as that one's caught on and missed for the second strikeout for Ferris. Kind of like how Craig Kimbrell holds the knuckle curve. I've got to ask someone who knows more about the mechanics that he's working with and what makes it effective, but got plenty of time for that in the next 7 days. 7 games left after today in this Green Jackets season. They have to win every single remaining game if they want to finish at or over 500. This one just taken outside at 76 to Jostingson Garcia, who walked to begin the game. Garcia, the older of the two Garcia brothers, his younger brother Johanafran is not in the lineup today. He caught yesterday, went 0-for-4. A guy who was ranked in the top 15 on Sox Prospects, which is the best website as far as Red Sox prospecting goes. Love that, you know, in this era when a lot of companies are downsizing in the news world, it has given birth to some really promising media sites. 1-2 is waved at and missed. Back-to-back strikeouts here, but whether it's, you know, something like FanGraphs or something like a Sox Prospects or Red Sox Stats for the Red Sox, there are so many great media minds, baseball minds, data people, prospects people who are getting their chance to showcase their stuff without being necessarily affiliated with one of the papers of record. And I think that's very valuable as far as it goes for the growth of the game. It's nice to have expertise in a certain area. We know that there is, you know, Braves Stats Farm on Twitter as well. It does a lot of that same work. And also Garrett Spain at Braves MILB. Gianfranco Salazar will shoot one in the gap in left field for a single as he gets a little bit of revenge for his double play back in the first. Two-way man on first here is Lionel James steps to the dish. Green Jackets leading 3-0. First pitch to him is a fastball on the outside edge for a strike. It is a good time to be a Red Sox fan or a Braves fan for different reasons. This one waved at and missed. It's 0-2. Obviously, the Braves right now are firmly in their championship window of contention. They picked up another win last night over the Dodgers to secure at least a split out west. 0-2 downstairs. But the Red Sox, although they are almost likely done for the year as far as playoff contention go, they do have a top three farm system in the league with very promising talents at the high levels of the minors, and the future is bright. 1-2 swung on and missed, and Ferris will strike out the side here in the top of the third. The Green Jackets will take that 3-0 lead to the bottom of the inning, where they will face a new arm when we come back.
With WOW Business, you get 24/7 U.S.-based support, 99.9% network reliability, and up to 1 gig speeds.
Get up to 30 megabytes of business internet for just $30 a month, plus free installation, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee.
Partner with WOW Business. Visit switchtowowbusiness.com. 99.9% network reliability based on average HFC availability. October through December 2022. Offer for new customers. 2-year agreement subject to change. Price does not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Watching TaxSlayer calculate your refund feels like climbing to the apex of a roller coaster.
Here we go!
And flying down the tracks. At maximum refund speed. Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
Green Jackets leading 3-0 here as we do have a pitching change. It is Caleb Bolden, it looks like, who's out on the mound. Not Caleb Bolden, read the 3 is a 9 or the 9 is a 3. That's user error there. As we expected earlier, it is Noah Dean out on the mound. One lefty replaces another. The former Old Dominion man takes over for Mullins. Tavares will line the first pitch for right field off the end of the bat. Coming in is Garcia. He'll make the catch for out number one. Dean making his 21st appearance of the year. He's been almost exclusively a starter. This is just the fourth game that he has not started. ugly numbers, 6.21 ERA, a 2-8 record, and a whip of north of 2. The big problem for him is just a boatload of walks. He only gives up a 2.40 batting average, but 68 walks to 81 strikeouts. He'll fire in a fastball for a strike here to McGee. In fact, he has walked well over a batter an inning. So Dean here inherits a clean slate with Augusta up 3-0, but no one aboard, and he gets the first out. Against the Green Jackets, though, Dean looked very good. That was back on the Saturday game a couple of weeks ago. Went four innings, gave up one hit, no runs, walked two, and fanned six. Last time out, did not give up a hit, although he did walk four. 0-2 here on the lefty McGee. This one is sliced down the left field line, dropping foul over by the Augusta bullpen. Red Sox drafted him in the fifth round out of Old Dominion last year, where he would have been a teammate of Seth Keller, who might very well appear in relief today for the Green Jackets. We have not seen him yet this week. Out of Hackensack, New Jersey. Another 0-2 to McGee. Lined hard to left field for a base hit. It's slicing towards the corner. Belize is over to cut it off. And McGee will dig for second. It's bobbled by the left fielder. The throw in is not in time. McGee took a big turn. Albert Belize bobbled the ball and left, and I think that'll likely end up as an error on the left fielder. It should be a single and an error, but either way, we'll see what the scorers go with here in this frame. Either way, McGee is aboard for the second time. And indeed it is. It'll be a single for McGee. Yet another error on this woeful Salem defense, which is jockeying with Augusta for the most errors committed in the league. In fact, they do have, as of yesterday, more errors than the Green Jackets. They're the two most error-prone teams, but it's been expressed in very different ways so far. One oh, taken inside. A check on the runner at second, and a 2-0. Taking high ball three. Grady at the plate, switch hitter, again batting from the right-hand side where he got that two RBI double on the right field line his first time up. Augusta on top 3-0 with the speedy McGee at second base after the single that turned into two bases with an error from Feliz, who's a first baseman converted to an outfielder to get him in the lineup today. 3-0 pitch is not even close. It misses in the dirt. The Green Jackets have two men aboard and one away for the cleanup hitter, Exposito. Atlanta in action later on today. 9:10 start time Eastern as they look to take their third straight game against the Dodgers. How about Marcell Ozuna? 8 homers in his last 11 games. First and second for Exposito, who will take one outside. Now 5 straight balls from Dean. Red Sox look to atone for a humbling performance last night as the lowly Royals really took them to town. And with each passing day, the playoff percentage ticks lower and lower. Expo will pop this one up foul and out of play. It gives me no joy to report that as a Bostonian born and raised and a massive Red Sox fan at heart. Something of a fugazi this year for the Sox, who were just in it enough to keep people engaged, and now it seems like with some injuries to pitchers and the trade deadline having passed, it's become a bridge too far. Dean tries to pick off the man at second. He throws it into center field, and that will advance both men to second and third. Second error of the inning. His throw just went underneath Alcantara's glove. Looking around baseball, Marlins beat up on the Nationals 11-5. Athletics beat the Angels, who have waved the white flag 2-1. That game in the Coliseum. The 1-1 to Expo is a fastball for a strike. Guardians lead the Rays 2-1 in Cleveland. Reds and Cubs tied at 0. Yankees Astros tonight as well. Second and third, one away. And the 1-2 is in the dirt, blocked by Mexicano. Mets host the Mariners tonight. Ronnie Mauricio called up yesterday, hit a ball 117 miles an hour, which is the seventh hardest hit ball in the majors this year, which is quite the achievement. Infield in all the way around. 2-2. Off speed, swung on and missed. Second strikeout of the day for Exposito, and now two away.
Wesley Surface, reporting guest services at this time. Wesley Surface.
Suddenly up to Wilver Dung to bring home these two runs. A single and an error put McGee on second. Grady walked, and then an error advanced both base runners 90 feet. Verdung struck out his first time up. Four hits this series, and he's driven in three. He'll take one in the dirt here. Uncharacteristic performance for Exposito, by the way, so far. In two at-bats against lefties, he has struck out twice. Coming into today, he actually had more walks than strikeouts. 23 walks to 22 strikeouts against lefties, hitting 304 against him. 1-0 to Verdung, infield back with two men out. The pitch is taken at the top of the zone for a strike. Dangerous spot there for a changeup, and fortunately it was laid off there for Dean on the mounds. Was a reliever at ODU. Been turned into a starter by the Sox, and he'll get a strike here in the bottom inside part of the plate. Also had offers from James Madison, Seton Hall, Xavier. You can get a little sense of where he grew up in Hackensack. Those are all mid-Atlantic teams. But ODU, a very good program. Andy Gariola, a member of that team. And he'll strike Verdung out on a fastball up and away to retire the side. So the Green Jackets get some base runners on a single and a walk, but leave them in scoring position. We head to the fourth. Augusta up by three. 3-0 the score.
Looking for a great rate on an auto loan? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has that covered. Great rate on an RV, boat, motorcycle, or a mortgage? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has great rates on those, too. But did you know SRP also has great rates on credit cards? And not just great rates, but perks, too. Whether you're wanting a traditional credit card with the lowest rates, or a rewards or signature credit card that will earn you points, SRP Federal Credit Union has what you are looking for. Visit a branch or apply online today at srpfcu.org. Good things are happening at SRP. All loans subject to approval and rate may vary depending on individual's credit history and other factors. Programs, rates, terms, and conditions subject to change without notice. Membership required. For information on our credit card points and rewards program, visit srpfcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. NMLS number 612441.
Good things are happening at SRP.
Getting your guaranteed maximum refund with TaxSlayer feels like saddling up and chasing down.
Look at that sweet moolah!
That big old cash cow.
Look at all that money!
Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
Luis Ravello in to lead it off this half inning. Green Jackets up by three in the top of inning number four. Ferris back out to the mound. Ravello singled on the infield his first time up. Switch hitter batting right will take a strike. In college football news, the Dogs, UGA up on Tennessee Martin 7-0 after a quarter, but they've actually been outgained by their FCS counterparts. Not a great way to start the season. Speaking of not great, that's an ugly-looking hack there from Ravello. It's 0-2. Ravello, his single, was his first hit of the series. 0 for 10 before today with six strikeouts. 0-2. Check swing, and that might have been in the zone. Everyone thought that was strike three. No call from Tyler Hovick. It's 1-2. The pitch is swung on and missed, and there is strike three. So a second chance there. He went to the same pitch, and that time just fooled him out of the zone. Fifth strikeout of the game for Ferris, who fanned all three men who were sent down last inning. And that'll bring up Marvin Alcantara, who struck out to end the first. Marvin Alcantara, who made his debut against Augusta about 4 weeks ago. He'll take one outside here and has struggled to acclimate to affiliated ball so far. Hitting 164, a homer and six driven in, but the Red Sox so aggressive with their prospects and so deep up the middle, and he will shoot one into right center field. I think he heard me down from home plate. He will pick up his second hit of the series. In fact, his first professional hit against a lefty. So breaking an 0-for-10 against southpaws, he is aboard with one away. But the Red Sox farm system just so deep with talent in the middle infield positions, from Triple A, where they've had David Hamilton this year, and amongst others, Adon Rafaela, who is now an outfielder but can play at second base as well. This one chopped to second for Dunquick, turned to short, Tavares to first, not in time. It'll be a fielder's choice as Alcantara out. Going first to second, U10 replaces him at first. Marcelo Meyer, who has been injured the last couple of weeks, and really the last month and a half since early July up in AA Portland. Nick York, who has had a nice resurgence this season. We've got Coffey as well up in High A Greenville. This one caught on and missed. The lead's in the box. He flew out to the warning track his first time up in center fields. Heim Bloom knows what he likes, and that is, as far as the draft goes, a lot of talented prep shortstops. 0-1, taken away. Not to belabor the point, but Nizan Zanatello, who's on the bench right in front of me right now, is the latest to that class of middle infielders. Mikey Romero as well. Rainer Bonassi in AA Portland. Pick off their over to first, nothing doing. Chase Miedroth and Manuel Valdez. Yoelian Cespedes, who demolished the DSL this year. He could actually skip the complex and come right to Salem next season after break camp, depending on how they feel. 1-1. Waved that and missed. It's 1-2. Either way, 3-0 the score. Green Jackets on top. The 1-2 pitch. Cut on and missed, strike three, and the side is retired. Two more strikeouts for Ferris, giving six on the game through four innings of work. After 3.5, Green Jackets leading 3-0, we go to the bottom of the fourth. Dean back out to the mound when we come back.
Some things are just made for each other. Chips and dip, socks and shoes. YouTube TV and WOW Internet, it's the ultimate bundle. Super fast WOW Internet and an amazing live TV experience from YouTube TV. Watch 100 plus channels, live sports, and unlimited DVR space included. For a limited time, get super fast internet and YouTube TV starting at just $82.98 per month. Sign up for our fastest speed and get $300 on us.
Wow.
Limit to new customers with auto pay and paperless billing. Subject to change. Terms and fees apply. Additional YouTube TV terms and conditions apply.
With WOW Business, you get 24/7 U.S.-based support, 99.9% network reliability, and up to 1 gig speeds.
Get up to 30 megabytes of business internet for just $30 a month, plus free installation, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee.
Partner with WOW Business. Visit switch2wowbusiness.com. 99.9% network reliability based on average HFC availability. October through December 2022. Offer for new customers. 2-year agreement subject to change. Price does not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Watching TaxSlayer calculate your refund feels like climbing to the apex of a roller coaster.
Here we go!
And flying down the tracks. At maximum refund speed. Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
Back here in the bottom of the fourth, first pitch to Kern is grounded on the left side to the shortstop, who throws to first for the out. Green Jackets leading in this one by a score of 3-0. All three runs coming in the first inning. Neither team has scored since that frame. Adam Shoemaker is up and warming in the Green Jackets bullpen, which suggests that Ferris' debut might be over after four innings of shutout ball. Three hits allowed and no runs. Pio Boucher in. He'll take a strike on the outside corner. Big looping breaking ball at 75. Tons of vertical break there. And we've got time called as the ball comes loose from the Augusta bullpen. Boucher grounded out to short his first time out. And he'll get hit on the hand here and take his base. That's a painful one. It got him on the bottom of the left hand. And he is squatting in some pain right now. Not a great spot to get hit. As he is still down here gathering himself. And Jesus Aviles, the trainer, is asking if he wants him to come out. And now Boucher will take off the wrist guard, and Aviles will come out and check on him. That ball was a fastball at 91 right on the fingers, which is a really exposed area. No matter how much protection you have, batting gloves and a thumb guard, it's still your finger getting crunched between the ball and the wood of the bat. And he's getting checked out here on the upper wrist and still getting looked at here. He's flexing that right hand with manager Cody Cabela down from the third base coach's box and Jesus Aviles here, and he's shaking his head, and now he will go up the first baseline. Good to see. Assuming the question was, do you want to come out? And Boucher said no. He is DHing today, so should they need a replacement, someone like Tyler Collins, who has a day off from being in the fields, could replace him, but good to see that he can continue for now. Celedonio in the box now. He struck out his first time up. He'll take a fastball outside to begin this AB. Runner on first, one away. Another ball loose from the Augusta bullpen as that one skips all the way over towards the Salem dugout. No wind to speak of here on this beautiful, picturesque Saturday evening. Is again taken up and away, same fastball, just carried away from the batter. Good crowd here on this Saturday evening, not deterred by the opening week of the college football season. Pickoff throw over to first, Boucher back in standing up. You wonder if they'd even think about sending him here after getting hit on the hand. You wouldn't want to risk that, any kind of uncomfortable feeling there on a glove first slide. He is being held on here by James with a sizable lead. Against the lefty on the bump, no less. 2-0. Breaking ball down and away to Celedonio. Of course, there are 12 more weeks of the college football season after today, and no more weeks of the Green Jackets home slate. 3-0. Outside ball four. Walk number 52 of the year for Celedonio. Puts men on first and second with one away for Nick Clarno, who drew a walk himself back in the second. Green Jackets leading 3-0, looking for some more base hits. They've only had two today. A double for Grady in the first and a single for McGee in the third. Clarno going ready on lefty here with Dean checking the runner at second, and we've got a pitch clock violation on the pitcher. It's 1-0. Green Jackets doing a bit of dancing behind the man on the mound. Augusta enjoys batting against lefties on the season. They'll get a strike to even it back up at 1-1 on the first pitch. Coming into this game, the Green Jackets hitting .225 against South Fuzz with an OPS just around 700. 1-1. Fastball, pop, foul, and out of play. Green Jackets as a team, though, about 20 points below that on the season. As far as the OPS goes, average-wise, they hit 219 as a team. Average has come down after the month of August. Lefty at the set. 1-2. Chopped foul into the Augusta dugout, and it skips hard enough off the netting to go back towards the Green Jackets bullpen. Landon Harper is the man protecting that bullpen with Adam Shoemaker the one warming up. Harper, interesting story about him as we get set for this 1-2. It's topical, I promise. The pitch is a check swing in the dirt. They appeal up the middle. He did not go. It's 2-2. Well, we learned about the passing of Jimmy Buffett today, and Jimmy Buffett went to Pearl River Community College before transferring and getting his degree from the University of Southern Mississippi. You know who else did that? It's Landon Harper, who pitched at Pearl River and then transferred to USN. So connections all over the place here. The 2-2. Swung on and missed. Great fastball there, and down on strikes goes Clarno. That one at 91. And two men out now in this inning. Tavares, the next man up, will walk in a run for him earlier today. Also flew out on the first pitch he saw in inning number 3. Was left at the plate when Nick Clarno got caught stealing to end the second. Boucher on second and Celedonio on first here with two outs in the bottom of the fourth. Check swing here to Tavares, and it rolls over to the first baseman, who flips to the pitcher covering, and he will step on the bag for the out. Unintentional ground out there. It'll be a 3-1 put out to retire the side. Green Jackets leave two more men aboard. That's 4 now in the last 2 innings. Fifth inning when we come back. It looks like Adam Shoemaker's time to shine here at SRP Park.
Some things are just made for each other. Chips and dip, socks and shoes. YouTube TV and WOW Internet. It's the ultimate bundle. Super fast WOW Internet and an amazing live TV experience from YouTube TV. Watch 100 plus channels, live sports, and unlimited DVR space included. For a limited time, get super fast internet and YouTube TV starting at just $82.98 per month. Sign up for our fastest speed and get $300 on us. Limited to new customers with auto pay and paperless billing. Subject to change. Terms and fees apply. Additional UTP terms and conditions apply.
With WOW Business, you get 24/7 U.S.-based support, 99.9% network reliability, and up to 1 gig speeds.
Get up to 30 megabytes of business internet for just $30 a month, plus free installation, a price-lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee.
Partner with WOW Business. Visit switch to wowbusiness.com. 99.9% network reliability based on average HFC availability. October through December 2022. Offer for new customers. 2-year agreement subject to change. Price does not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Sometimes we lose, sometimes we win. Sometimes we try to fit it all in. Sometimes we don't know what's in store. Sometimes we find what we're looking for. Sometimes we're rolling easy and free. Sometimes one and one makes three. So much to love along this ride. That's why Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
So we're back here in the top of the fifth. No pitching change yet. Ferris remains in the game. Up to 47 pitches. He stands 6, and he has yet to allow a run. First pitch in for a strike to Tucker, who flew out to end the second inning. All 4 hits so far today. Rather, 3 hits, excuse me, for the visitors have been singles. Again, there has just not been any extra base power aside from the 2 home runs for Feliz and the homers on Tuesday night for Salazar and Tucker. 1-1, swung on and missed. Tucker has that home run. That was back in his debut. It was his 3rd at bat, and since then he is hitless. Now 1-for-12 with those 3 runs batted in. And it's, talk about that extra base power. They have not been walking either. They've drawn a pair of free passes today, but that's now just 3 over their last 14 and a third innings. Ball comes loose from the Augusta bullpen yet again as the on-deck man, Mexicano, will pick it up. Last night, the Charleston River Dogs clinched a postseason appearance. They have not yet clinched the championship in this division, but Myrtle Beach, the only team that can catch them, as this one's fought foul. Myrtle Beach, the only team that can catch them, won the first half, so they are postseason bound without a doubt. Green Jackets played them 24 times this year and went 11-13 against them, including a no-hitter. 1-2, taken outside. Been impressed with Ferris so far, and that grip. 2-2 fouled off. Out of Palm Harbor, Florida. And he'll get a strikeout here. Seventh of the game. As Tucker goes down hacking. It's been a strikeout-filled performance, and that's how it's going to end, as he hits that 50-pitch mark, and that will do it. A very successful debut, who, following up Riley Gowans yesterday, matches in stride for stride. 4 1/3 innings of work, 3 hits. He walks 2. He does not give up a run, and he strikes out 7. Very impressive outing for Ferris. We'll go to break as we've got an arm coming in from the bullpen. Green Jackets leading 3-0 as Ferris leads to some applause.
Green Jackets fans, single game tickets are now on sale at greenjacketsbaseball.com. greenjacketsbaseball.com is your one-stop shop for tickets, information on promotions, and of course, the Hive Pro Shop online store. Visit greenjacketsbaseball.com for more.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
So Ferris's night is done. He goes 4 1/3. He strikes out 7. Does not give up a run. Now another lefty into the game. We've had 4 pitchers all southpaws so far. Adam Shoemaker into the game. He's had a good month of August and, in fact, had his best career outing against Salem. He went 5 innings, gave up 1 hit and 1 run. It was unearned while walking 1, hitting 1, and striking out 5. He has 9-1. Due up at the very least. It's Mexicano and Garcia with one away in the top of the fifth. Last time out, a rough one for Shoemaker. No decision. He went 2 innings, gave up a hit and 2 runs, both earned, while walking 3 and hitting 1. He did fan 4, though, and it ended what had been a really stellar performance. In his first 10 innings this month, he only gave up 1 hit. First pitch fastball outside to Mexicano, who struck out in the third. Green Jackets leading 3-0. 3 hits for the visitors and 2 errors. 2 hits and an error for Augusta. And this one hit hard to center field. Grady heads back towards the track, battles the sun, moves to his right and can't get there. It bounces off the warning track, and it'll be a stand-up double for Mexicano. Tough task there for Grady, who had to go from the shadows where he started all the way into the sun on the warning track, the only part of the ballpark, only part of the diamond where sun still shines. And it's the first extra base hit of the day and the first double of the series for Salem, which here in Game 5 says a lot about why they have yet to win a game this week. Really, it's the second double of the series. They had one in the ninth inning in sort of garbage time on Tuesday when they were down 4 runs with 2 away. So shouldn't discount that one, as this pitch is inside here to Jostingston Garcia. A walk and a strikeout for him so far today. One-0 is in for a strike. Strike throwing has been something that Shoemaker has improved upon as this year has gone on. Still just a 57% strike rate, but that has gone up in recent months, and recent weeks, really. Had a handful of really good outings in July and August. This one chopped up the middle to short. Tavares is there. He'll throw to first just in time for the out. Garcia ran hard, but Tavares got it there in time. And two away. It'll bring up John Frank Salazar, who singled in the third. Amongst other things, Shoemaker has been very hard to run on. Nine men have been caught stealing, and four have been picked off against him this year on 24 attempts. First pitch is swung on and missed by Salazar. It's 0-1. Green Jackets leading 3-0 here in the top of the fifth, trying to keep that zero on the board. Beautiful evening of baseball at SRP Park. Oh, 1. Line to right in for a base hit. It gets by Verdung and into center field where Grady will pick it up. It's an RBI single for Salazar. His second hit of the day and his 16th man batted in this year. So now a 3-1 ball game. And that'll bring up Lionel James, who has a walk and a strikeout to his name so far. First pitch to him is popped up, foul and out of play. James, out of the Dominican Republic, missed a couple of games with a hand injury sustained after being hit by a pitch in Fredericksburg in the early parts of August, but back to almost everyday action now. The lefty Shoemaker fires. It is up and away. Shoemaker, 6'6" tall, out of Ontario. Not the tallest guy on the team anymore, though. 1-1. Hit hard up the middle, but Tavares is there. He'll go the short way to second to retire the side. And we'll go to the bottom of the fifth. A run in on a RBI single for John Frank Salazar. Green Jackets lead by a score of 3-1. Cam McGee in here to lead us up in the bottom of the fifth inning. Green Jackets leading now 3-1. Dean's first pitch is grounded right up the middle and into his glove. Look what I found, and he will overhand to first. McGee hustled down the line and made him think about that one, but it is a first pitch out for McGee, who is now 1-for-2. Now Jace Grady to the plate. He has reached twice, a double that brought home the first two runs of the game and a walk his last time up. Green Jackets have left four men aboard, two in each of the last two innings. Grady, switch hitter, batting right. Lefty on the mound. And the first pitch is fouled off the mask of the catcher Mexicano, who takes it off and will get an extra second here to recover. And the 0-1 up and away. McGee, Grady, and Exposito, the 3-2 up this half inning. Expo, two strikeouts for Zung, will be the next man up. He's got a pair of Ks as well today. 1-1, big breaking ball, fouled off. Grady just a bit out in front there, but that's a dangerous pitch going lefty on righty. If you drop it in at that back foot, it's very effective, especially if it can break the plate in the zone. But if you leave that hanging, that is a home run to the pole side waiting to happen. 1-2, fastball skipped up in the dirt. Grady got a hanging breaking ball for his first homer of the year on a 3-0 count. Kind of a get-me-over curveball, and he mashed it to right field. Batting as a lefty, so it was another pull-side homer. Both of his homers have been to the pull-side for him. 2-2. There's that breaking ball again, and it misses high. It is really hard to miss high in the zone with a curveball. The only guy who does it consistently in Major League Baseball is Justin Verlander. Zach Greinke can do it as well. Clayton Kershaw from time to time. 3-2. Fastball popped up. Right side, it jammed him. Alcantara and the first baseman there, but the second baseman, Alcantara, will take care of it for the out. If you can drop in a breaking ball, an off-speed pitch at the top of the zone, and get batters fooled and have them not swing, it's really effective. It's just so hard to do it without putting it right in someone's wheelhouse. So two outs for EJ Exposito. The game of baseball has changed a little bit from fastball, changeup, curveball to now fastball, slider. First pitch in for a strike. Good piece in Baseball America at the beginning of this year about how the changeup is statistically the worst performing pitch in Major League Baseball. It gives up the most runs against on average. 0-1 in the dirt. The best performing pitch is a slider. And now much more variance amongst types of fastball is used as well, with sinkers and cutters being preferred and often utilized more heavily than the traditional four-seamers. Breaking ball here in for a strike at the bottom of the zone. And it's 1-2. But I guess you probably only care about that if you're a massive nerd, which shows exactly where I fit. 1-2. Fastball chop foul into the Augusta dugout. It's just interesting to know, you know, baseball is so data heavy, and it always has been. And amongst, you know, American sports, because of how far back the data goes, and obviously you've got StatCast, pitch tracking now, and all that. 1-2 is in the dirt. But you've got numbers across baseball that go back over a century. And so the amount of data and numbers that can be synthesized and the depth and level of scorekeeping, I mean, in basketball, obviously, you had pretty major changes to the game around the time of the NBA-ABA merger in the early 70s. Football obviously hasn't changed all that much. 2-2 is a breaking ball just upstairs. That's pretty close to exactly the kind of good pitch that we're talking about. That got a good chunk of the zone. But baseball is just it's a statistician's best friend. The 3-2, down and in, ball four, nearly hit him. And Exposito will take his walk. And the Green Jackets have a man aboard now with two away. And that'll bring up Will Verdung. Exposito taking free pass number 58 of the season, which leads the team. Mentioned last half inning, by the way, that Adam Shoemaker, no longer the tallest guy on the team. Garrett Bowman, who is standing out right now in the Augusta bullpen wearing a black hoodie next to the much smaller Zach Austin. As Verdung takes a strike, Garrett Bowman, 6'9" tall. Bowman was an overslot pick out of the high school ranks in Florida, who has just tremendous velo. And Exposito goes here. It swung on and missed. Mexicano's throw not even close. The tag and the slide not in time. Second baseman Ravello did keep, rather Alcantara did keep that tag down for an extra half a second. But a great jump for Exposito, who gets his 20th stolen base of the year. Garrett Bowman is 6'9" and every inch of it. You can't fake size like that. But he's like a big 6'9". 0-2, down and in. Green Jackets added a number of new faces from the complex after the FCL Braves won the championship down Florida way, and not all of them are active, but getting seasoned here in the late stages of this campaign. 1-2, breaking ball fouled off into the Augusta dugout. It's batted down by someone down there. Still 1-2. Green Jackets leading 3-1. They haven't scored since the first, however, with Verdung trying to change that here. Expo goes for third. Pitch is taken very high, and there will not be a throw. Exposito timed it up so well. Had a great jump. And with a righty in the box, Mexicano didn't want to risk perhaps throwing that one down the line and allowing a run to score on an error, which he did twice against the Green Jackets back in Salem. So two stolen bases for Expo bring him 90 feet away. It's evened up now at 2-2. And the pitch is grounded sharply to third, fielded on two hops by Salazar. His throw across the diamond is in time to retire the side. A walk, one left. Augusta's left 5 minute board, and the last three chips through the order will go to the sixth. Augusta leads now 3-1.
Some things are just made for each other. Chips and dip, socks and shoes. YouTube TV and WOW Internet. It's the ultimate bundle. Super fast WOW Internet and an amazing live TV experience from YouTube TV. Watch 100 plus channels, live sports, and unlimited DVR space included. For a limited time, get super fast internet and YouTube TV starting at just $82.98 per month. Sign up for our fastest speed and get $300 on us.
Wow.
Limited to new customers with auto pay and paperless billing. Subject to change. Terms and fees apply. Additional YouTube TV terms and conditions apply.
With WOW Business, you get 24/7 U.S.-based support, 99.9% network reliability, and up to 1 gig speeds.
Get up to 30 megabytes of business internet for just $30 a month, plus free installation, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee.
Partner with WOW Business. Visit switch2wowbusiness.com. 99.9% network reliability based on average HFC availability. October through December 2022. Offer for new customers, 2-year agreement subject to change. Price does not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Back here, top of the sixth inning, Green Jackets leading by a score of 3-1. Shoemaker back out onto the mound. Augusta being out hit 5-2. They have struggled for base runners so far today. The only hits a double in the second and a single in the third. But they still lead by a pair, and Luis Ribello is the next man up. He is 1-2, an infield single in the first and a strikeout in the fourth. First pitch here, down and away. Sun is reflecting pretty brightly off the apartment building in left center field. Ribello chops this one to short, and the other shortstop, Tavares, will retire him easily at the bag for the out, one down. Kids run the bases post-game today. Normally that's a Sunday activity, but with tomorrow's fireworks, that is not going to happen tomorrow. It'll happen today instead, and then tomorrow evening, some season-ending fireworks. It is Be a Fan Appreciation Weekend, and tomorrow, of course, the final home game of the campaign. 6:05 start time with Jimmy Buffett-themed fireworks. It is Hawaiian-themed. Unfortunately, I don't have a Hawaiian shirt, which disappointing for me personally, but you know, I'd only be able to wear one really as a bit. It's not totally my style. Shoemaker gets a strike here. It's 1-1. I mean, maybe the next time, if I'm ever in Panama City, Florida, or if I go down to spring training or instructs, I'll be able to find one without a doubt. Not quite the norm up in Boston, where I'll be heading in a week and a half. 1-1 down and away, and it is 2-1. Talked about this earlier this week, but the Braves and the Red Sox share such a history as far as players who have played for both teams. 2-1 is swung on and missed. That is a good-looking fastball there at 92. Obviously some big names, J.D. Drew, Cy Young, Babe Ruth. 2-2 in the dirt. But Adam Duvall, probably the name that most people would guess first right now on Immaculate Grid. Although John Smoltz also pitched a year for the Red Sox, I think in like 2007, 2008. 3-2 is pop foul and out of play. Smoltz certainly not known for his time as a member of Boston professional sports teams. Certainly much more highly regarded as a lifetime Brave. 3-2. Grounded foul off the end of the bat by Alcantara. Single his last time up and then was the out at second on a fielder's choice. Three-two pitch. Hit hard up the middle and underneath the glove of Shoemaker in a center for a base knock. Two-hit game for Alcantara, who will take a wide turn at first and head back to the mound. Rather bag, excuse me, as he becomes a base runner here with one away. So a lefty-on-lefty matchup here for U10 in the box. Shoemaker from the stretch. We'll get a first pitch ground ball towards second. It's fielded. Verdung will only have a play to first. He'll get it there for the out. As U10 is retired 4-3 and Alcantara heads to second. And now Albert Feliz, whose power has been on display this week. He's got 10 home runs on the season, and two of them came in game two of the doubleheader on Thursday night. Lefty on righty matchup. First pitch to him is taken outside. Shoemaker hides the ball well in his delivery as Nick Klarna will call a timeout and just go out for a quick chat. Another name that people might remember as far as guys who have played for both the Red Sox and the Braves, Jared Saltalamacchia. Great catcher of the early 2010s. 1-1 is outside and low. Pitch here backs him up. Green Jackets taking this 2-0, rather 2-run lead, excuse me, here in the top of the sixth with Alcantara on second and two away, but Feliz the power to tie it up with one swing. It is a 3-0 count here. The board has a strike, which I don't think actually exists. And now it will. So now it is 3-1. Dean has been very good in relief so far today for Salem. Three innings of one-hit work with three walks and three strikeouts. No runs allowed by the ODU man. Shoemaker checks the runner, and a 3-1 pitch is swung on and missed. So the count will go full here as he will call timeout. Board didn't realize that was only the second strike, and they went into the ad break. Now a pitch away from getting out of the inning. Alcantara at second base, a couple of steps towards third. Feliz looking to avoid going 0-3 to begin this game. The 3-2 is swung on and missed, and Shoemaker battles back from down 3-0 to strike out Feliz for the second time and retire this side. Green Jackets still leading by a pair, 3-1 the score as we head to the bottom of the sixth.
Hey Everyone deserves a great smile, and Crawford Orthodontics is here to help you, Augusta Green Jackets fans. As one of the country's leading orthodontists right here in the Augusta area, Crawford Orthodontics accepts most insurance. And whether it's braces or Invisalign aligners, we make amazing smiles affordable with 0% APR financing. We love to see Green Jackets fans smile with confidence. So get that amazing smile you deserve. Visit yourlifeyoursmile.com today and book your free consult. That's yourlifeyoursmile.com for Crawford Orthodontics, official smile provider of Minor League Baseball.
Getting your guaranteed maximum refund with TaxSlayer feels like discovering a refund tree has grown in your backyard.
I'm the refund tree.
Sawing off its branches.
Hey, hey.
Feeding them through a wood chipper.
My branches! My beautiful branches!
And dancing in its refund rain. Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
Here in the bottom of the sixth inning, Cade Kern is into the box. Green Jackets leading 3-1, looking to make it a five-game win streak here and pick up their eighth consecutive victory over the Salem Red Sox. First pitch fastball downstairs from Dean, who has looked very good since coming on in the bottom of the third. Three innings of work without allowing a run. He has walked a pair. Rather, he's walked three. Kern so far today is 0-2. Yesterday had three strikeouts, but then drove in the insurance run to make it 4-1 in his last at-bat. And the 2-0 in the zone, just barely. Big League Red Sox in action in Kansas City. Looks like they have taken yesterday's loss personally. It's now 3-0 there as Tristan Casas has hit a two-run home run. Casas probably not going to win AL Rookie of the Year this year, but he certainly could end up finishing second or third in that vote. It's almost entirely going to come down to how much attention the voters have been paying to Gunnar Henderson. But this pitch taken outside and high as we've got some banging on the railing to our right, which is causing a little bit of noise on our crowd mic. It's a full count, and the pitch fought foul. Gunnar Henderson, probably the favorite to win AL Rookie of the Year. You think other names like Anthony Volpe might be in the conversation. At one point in time, Masataka Yoshida could have been in there as well, but he's cooled off a little bit, and the fielding might be enough to keep him out. 3-2, inside and low, ball four. So a walk to begin the frame. Green Jackets have the leadoff man aboard for the first time since the first inning. The Casas amongst the league leaders as far as OPS goes amongst rookies. OPS pushing 900 right now. 22 homers for him. Was high school teammates with Corey Acton, who is now up in High A Rome for the Braves. Played about half the season here. Started off the season in Rome, came back down here, and then now back up in High A. Boucher in, he'll take a ball. He got hit by a pitch on the hand his last time up. Verdung on first, shallow lead. And the pickoff throw goes over, tag applied, not in time. Shuffling down the line in the bullpen for Salem, and they're going to get someone throwing here with Dean up to 60 pitches on his next offering. That Tristan Casas team also had the younger Casas brother, Gavin, who has been tearing it up at South Carolina. Another pickoff throw over to first, nothing doing there. But those two, it had Acton, who played at the University of Florida out of American Heritage High School, which is one of the best prep schools for athletics in Florida, the best prep athletic state out there. 1-0. Big slow curveball taken for a strike. That one at 74 and every bit of it. On deck is Celedonio, who took another walk his last time up, 0 for 1. Clarno also 0 for 1 with a walk and a strikeout to follow. Runner goes for second. Fastball taken outside for a ball. The throw down is in time. They got him. Good tag applied there by the shortstop, Ravello, to keep it down in time on Kern, rather. Not Verdung. It was Cade Kern. It will be a caught stealing. Third time he has been caught so far this year. 1-2 pitch, poked foul, staying alive. Read my mind. Another lefty is up and warming in the bullpen. We are going to see five left-handed pitchers in this game. 1-2 to Boucher is taken just downstairs. It's a pretty good pitch. It might have missed a little low. Green Jackets still just two hits in this ballgame. None since the third. And this one downstairs, it's a full count. They have drawn plenty of walks, something they've been good at this year. They've taken six walks, they've only fanned seven times. And typically, when you're balancing that walk-to-strikeout ratio as a team in a single game, you're going to be doing pretty good things. It's unreasonable to expect a ratio of close to 1-to-1 over the course of a whole season, but when you get that many men on base, good things happen. This pitch taken on the outside edge for strike three. So a bounce back AB there for Dean as he will get a strikeout. Now two away, two outs, no one on after the caught stealing. That'll bring up Celedonio, a strikeout and a walk for him. Still leads the team with 15 homers. And the first pitch to him is in for a strike. Tomorrow, 6:05 start time. No starters announced yet. We'll see who ends up getting the nod for the Green Jackets in that game. First pitch here is downstairs. Rather, second pitch. It's now 1-1. Good crowd on hand. Very pleasant evening at the ballpark. Swing and a miss, it's 1-2. See if Dean can get through this inning. He has been very good. He's kept the Green Jackets off the board entirely since the first frame. 1-2, curveball inside. Now through 3 1/3 innings on 69 pitches, 4 walks and 4 strikeouts, but just one hit allowed. He has done well against the Green Jackets. And again, it's only been the walks that have been his problem so far this year. If you take away those walks, you cut down on that, and the peripheral will start to look a lot better. Well, missing the dirt here, though, it's a full count on Celedonio, who took a walk his last time up. This series, Celedonio now 1-for-2 with 3 walks and a single. Average at 185. And the payoff pitch. Swung on and missed, strike three. So the Green Jackets will send up the minimum here in the sixth and will go to the seventh with the score still 3-1 in favor of Augusta. The jersey auction just complete. We head to the final third of this ballgame with Augusta on top by 2.
Looking for a great rate on an auto loan? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has that covered. Great rate on an RV, boat, motorcycle, or a mortgage? Yeah, SRP Federal Credit Union has great rates on those, too. But did you know SRP also has great rates on credit cards? And not just great rates, but perks, too. Whether you're wanting a traditional credit card with the lowest rates or a rewards or signature credit card that will earn you points, SRP Federal Credit Union has what you are looking for. Visit a branch or apply online today at srpfcu.org. Good things are happening at SRP. All loans subject to approval and rate may vary depending on individual's credit history and other factors. Programs, rates, terms, and conditions subject to change without notice. Membership required. For information on our credit card points and rewards program, visit srpfcu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. NMLS number 612441.
Good things are happening at SRP.
Fans, don't forget our final fireworks show of the season takes place tomorrow, September 3rd, right here at SRP Park. Game time is 6:05 tomorrow. Look forward to seeing you here for our final game of the season at SRP Park.
Green Jackets on top here by a score of 3-1 as we hit the top of inning number 7. Shoemaker on the mound, Stanley Tucker in to lead it off. First pitch to him is hit hard to right field, dropping in for a base hit. Second hit of the career for Tucker, who runs hard up the line, takes a big turn and goes back to the bag. Lead off man aboard here in the 7th. Well, you want to talk about guys who hustle hard up the line. Tucker has done that every single time he's put the ball in play. Maybe one of the best guys at doing that in all of baseball is Jarren Duran, who is out for the year now with a turf toe injury that required surgery earlier this week, but he turned singles into doubles like no one's business. Of course, Acuna and Michael Harris are also incredibly talented at that specific thing, where outfielders will almost get lulled to sleep. They think that, you know, it's just a routine single, and then all of a sudden you see a guy tearing down the bases to steal an extra 90 feet. Mexicano fouls this one off. He doubled last time up and ended up scoring the only run of the game for Salem. Runner goes for second. The pitch hit hard to left field, dropping in. It's going to get down for a base hit. It's picked up by the left fielder, Kern. They will send the runner home. The throw goes to first, and the run is going to score. That is a confusing decision from everyone involved. The third base coach sent the man, Tucker, from third when the ball was almost in the infield, but then the throw went to first instead. And an RBI for Mexicano, and it's a one-run ball game. Don't know why that throw did not get cut off by the shortstop, and don't know why the throw didn't go to the plate to hold the runner. It's like they thought Mexicano was going to turn for two and were more preoccupied with that than the run. The runner goes, the throw to second, and they got him by a mile. Well, they couldn't get him at second the first time and held him to first base, and they catch him stealing. So some consolation there is the tying run taken off the bases. Mexicano now 2-for-3, by the way, with that RBI single, but he is caught stealing for out number 1. As this pitch misses, now 2-0 on Jostinson Garcia. On the inside edge for a strike. Time called here as the ball comes loose in the bullpen. Shoemaker misses here. It's 3-1. Jostinson is 0-for-2. He walked in the first and then was retired on John Frank Salazar's double play, who is on deck. 3-1. Swing and a miss, and it goes full at 3-2. Mitch Ferris began the game for Augusta, going a very solid 4 1/3 innings. He gave up 3 hits, no runs, while striking out 7. Shoemaker so far, 5 hits, 2 runs both earned with 1 strikeout, but no walks. Full count here on Garcia with 1 away in the 7th. The 3-2. Grounded over towards the right side. Verdung has to range over to make the play. His throw to first is in time. They got him. Bang, bang play at the first base bag, and Liam Carroll instantly out to contest. Carroll, with base runner slowly heading his way back to the dugout, going to talk with Frank Jones. That looked very close to the naked eye. I think he might have beat it out based on my view from up here, but Verdung had to go a long way to make that play. He was positioned right up the middle, and he had to go towards his glove side to get the ball out there. And Carroll still talking over that play. And And it looks like he'll be satisfied with the explanation, and he'll go back to the dugout. So a big second out on a 3-2 pitch. It'll go down as a 4-3 ground out, and John Frank Salazar is the next man up. Two singles and a double play, 2-for-3 with an RBI. This one outside and high. And the 1-0 popped up right side of the infield in foul ground. Exposito, the first baseman, is having to arc his way back towards fair territory. It's a fair ball. And that ball drops in right behind the first base bag. Everyone missed it. And the utmost of bloop singles will keep the inning alive. And manager Cody Cabela here out to talk with the home plate umpire Tyler Hovick about that one. EJ Exposito in foul ground had to come back into fair territory to try and make the play, and ended up landing right behind the first base bag. What a interesting series of events we've had this inning. And they give that as an error on Exposito, an E3. And now taking one downstairs is Lionel James. Each team now with two errors today. Green Jackets in the lead by one. They've been held to just two hits, however. 1-0. Upstairs for a ball. To a pitch, and up foul off the plate. We will see a new pitcher, believed, to begin the bottom of the seventh, whenever that ends up happening. And it looked like a lefty who was warming up, and the options are not plentiful. It could either be Connor Butler or Zach Fogle. This pitch outside, it's now 3-1. This inning has gone single, single, caught stealing, ground out, and now an error. The lefty Shoemaker sets high. 3-1 pitch is popped up to left field. Should be playable for Kern, who heads towards the track and has space to make the catch. And the side is retired. Two hits, an error, one left. As we head to the seventh inning stretch, Green Jackets leading now just by one. 3-2 is the score.
Hey fans, it's time for the Northwest Title Practice seventh inning stretch. Here on your and sing along to the favorite baseball concert. Take me out to the ball game.
Back here in the bottom of the seventh, Nick Clarno in the box. He will take the first pitch downstairs for a ball from Connor Butler. Butler, the man with pitches that are very hard to hit, as Clarno finds out here. It's a swing and a miss. It's 1-1. He walks a ton of guys and hardly gives up any hits aside from that. This is outing number 6 of the year for him with Salem. He's given up 3 hits but walked 11. He'll get a strike here with 6 strikeouts to boot. Really good strikeout numbers. Guys just do not have an answer for his stuff, but again, it's just been hard to locate. He hangs his left arm over Kimbrel-esque on the mound. Another lefty in this game. 1-2 is lined to left and caught on a jump by John Frank Salazar, who takes away extra bases from Nick Clarno. On the left side of Salem's entire defense this week has been putting on a show. Stanley Tucker had 2 diving grabs on Tuesday night. Alcantara, the shortstop, jumped and robbed Tavares yesterday, and now Salazar leaps and takes away a hit from Clarno. Now Tavares to the plate, 0-2 with a walk. He scored Augusta's first run of the game in the first. They'll take one in the dirt here, however. Butler did appear against the Green Jackets the other day, back in the series opener. Gave up 3 runs. Only 1 was earned after an error behind him. He walked 2 and gave up just 1 hit. Green Jackets up 3-2, but only 2 hits today. And that'll be a third as Tavares goes the opposite way for a knock. Sometimes you got to use the broadcaster's jinx for good, as Tavares picks up yet another hit. The on-base streak already extended to 10 games, a career high, but now a hit as well. The only game that he went hitless in the last 10 games was a game that he walked twice in, so always tough to end a hitting streak when you're still getting on base, but that is why the on base streak exists, I suppose. Cam McGee in, he'll take a ball. McGee so far today hit by a pitch and singled. He's 1-for-2 with a run. Tavares on at first. Average for Tavares just keeps climbing, now up to 213. 1-0. In the dirt, it goes all the way to the backstop, and Tavares will take second comfortably, and it'll take a big turn as well. And Hikano gets to it quickly, though. Butler's had a long journey in his collegiate career. Went to Hawaii to begin his career, then transferred to Spokane Falls and then to Biola. Tavares heads for third, and he's going to get there comfortably, but it's hit to left field by McGee for a base hit to bring in the run. It's an RBI single for Cam McGee as Tavares would have had that base comfortably. It drew the shortstop out of position, and McGee goes the opposite way nicely, and the Green Jackets get a run back, and now a 4-2 ball game. First pitch misses to Jace Grady. Grady is 1-for-2, a 2 RBI double and a walk. Also a pop-out today. Pickoff throw over to first from Butler. Again, the stuff for Butler is so promising. Just the location is non-existent, and the mechanics are just a little all over the place. He'll miss high and wide here. 20th rounder in last year's draft. Taken high and wide. I mean, the numbers for walks and strikeouts are almost identical, and they're so high. He struck out 15 batters per 9 innings at Hawaii, but also walked 9 guys per 9, and then it continued in his NCAA career. 3-0, inside ball 4. So 2 singles and a walk. McGee takes second. RBI number 9 for Cam McGee. And already another arm is going to start loosening here with no outs here in the bottom of the 7th inning. Another chance for Exposito here against a lefty. All five arms used today up in southpaws. First pitch is in for a strike. Green Jackets leading now 4-2. Cam McGee, a two-hit game. Cam McGee now all of a sudden 5-for-13 this week with a couple of walks and a hit-by-pitch. He's had a very solid week after a tough two-week stretch on the road. A one. Swing and a miss. That's a nice-looking changeup there. It's 0-2. Ball onto the field in right field. We've had so many issues today with balls coming loose up and down the lines from both sides of the bullpen. Runners inching off. 0-2 pitch in the dirt. It's underneath the backside of Mexicano, who didn't realize where that ball was. He prevents an advance, though, and we'll keep the at-bat alive. One and two. The pitch is downstairs. Grady and McGee have good speed on the bases. Should manager Cody Gabella want to think about something here, especially with a pitcher who is a little bit erratic? You got to think that makes a throw hard for Mexicano, who the Green Jackets have run well on today. Kern was caught stealing, though, back in the sixth. It's the last time the Green Jackets tried to run. 2-2. Taken up and away, and now a full count. Righty up and loosening in the bullpen for Salem. And the pitch is caught foul my way and out of play. Looks like Michael Valera is the man who is loosening. Valera is someone who the Green Jackets have not seen this week, but who they really crushed back in August. 3-2 here. Expo fouls it off and stays alive. Beautiful sunset right now down in outside of the ballpark area. Kind of a pink hazy glow. Another 3-2. And he got him swinging up and away. Hat trick of K's for Expo and a second out of the frame. Now Will Verdung the third with a good chance. 0-for-3 today, but trying to build on those 9 runs batted, and he's driven in 3 this week. Helicopter flying overhead. Green Jackets up 4-2. The pitch to Verdung from the lefty is taken high for a ball. Excellent outing for Dean, who continued to work well despite being used as a reliever today rather than a starter. He goes 4 innings, strikes out 5, gives up 4 walks and a hit, but no runs. Runners go here. Taken inside for a ball. Mexicano's throw is stabbed by the third baseman to prevent it from going into left field, and it hit the ankle of John Frank Salazar, who looks to be in a bit of discomfort. He sold out there because that was a bad throw for Mexicano. That was ticketed for the left field corner. If that ball, by the way, gets beyond the third baseman Salazar there, that is 2 runs on the board. That ball would get all the way into either the bullpen or all the way towards the clubhouse door. And Salazar appears to be a little bit sore down on his right shin, but I think he saved 2 runs there. I know they wanted to get the out there at third, and Mexicano wanted to try and end the frame, but just a bit of a questionable choice to throw down there with a righty at the plate. They're still checking on Salazar here. Green Jackets doubled their hit total in this inning. They got a single from McGee and a single from Tavares. McGee gets his 11th stolen base of third there, and Grady takes second, his 9th bag of the season. Green Jackets have continued to run more than anyone else. 7 stolen bases today for Augusta. They're at 198 now this year. And it looks like he is going to be okay here after all. So, good to see. So, second and third. And the pitch fouled off. Now 2-1. A double steal has worked well for the Green Jackets today. They have two men now in scoring position with Grady at second and McGee at first. It was McGee's RBI single that brought home Augusta's first run since the first inning. They had only two hits in the first six frames. They've got two here so far. Another one would really put the icing on the cake. 2-1. Swung on and missed. That is just a disappearing pitch there. I think that's the fastball. It kind of has this sinking motion, probably close to a sinker, really. As many would describe a fastball with sink to it as. 2-1, 2-out, and a 2-2 pitch. Taken on the inside edge, strike 3 called as Verdun gets rung up looking, and the side is retired, but Augusta does bring an insurance run home. They get the run back. It is now a 4-2 game as we head to the eighth.
Some things are just made for each other. Chips and dip, socks and shoes. YouTube TV and WOW Internet. It's the ultimate bundle. Super fast WOW Internet and an amazing live TV experience from YouTube TV. Watch 100 plus channels, live sports, and unlimited DVR space included. For a limited time, get super fast internet and YouTube TV starting at just $82.98 per month. Sign up for our fastest speed and get $300 on us.
Wow.
Limited to new customers with auto pay and paperless billing. Subject to change. Terms and fees apply. Additional YouTube TV terms and conditions apply.
With WOW Business, you get 24/7 U.S.-based support, 99.9% network reliability, and up to 1 gig speeds.
Get up to 30 megabytes of business internet for just $30 a month, plus free installation, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee.
Partner with WOW Business. Visit switch2wowbusiness.com. 99.9% network reliability based on average HFC availability. October through December 2022. Offer for new customers, 2-year agreement subject to change. Price does not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
Gowans goes to Dale Ansatz. 33 Diaz goes to John Guzman. 34 Compton goes to William Carter. 40 Franks goes to Anna Mahoney. We'll announce more later this evening.
Shoemaker back out to the mound here in the top of inning number 8. They get a run back. It's a 4-2 ball game. It is Ravello in to lead it off. Green Jackets have left a number of men aboard here in this game. You hope it does not come back to hurt him. As Ravello shoots this one to the gap in left center field. Grady running it down. It will drop on the base of the wall and skip up against the green. And it'll go out of play. It'll be a ground rule double. And perhaps fortunate that it did, because Ravello can dig. He was headed towards third. So leadoff two-bagger here for Ravello, his second hit of the day. Green Jackets are being out-hit now by a margin of 9-4. First pitch is outside and low as a little bit of shuffling in the Green Jackets bullpen. Alcantara to the plate. He's got two singles in his last two at-bats. 2-for-3, average up to 193 from 167 where he began the day. 1-0 is grounded to the right side. He'll get the runner over. Verdun is there. He'll throw to first in time for the out. Productive out, though, for Alcantara as Ravello now to third. A good chance here for Nathaniel Uten, who is 0-for-3. had a rough series so far. He did drive in a pair of runs in the third inning on Tuesday night. And then since then, he is now 1-for-13 with a game-costing error. He cost the first game of the doubleheader. He'll take one up and away here. But a chance to, again, bring the Red Sox to within one run. Uten is batting from the left-hand side. And a swing and miss here. It is 1-1. Uten, extremely young. Born in 2004. 6'2", 143 pounds. On the season between the FCL and Salem, he's got an OPS of 800. He tore it up. An OPS of 879 down in the complex. But he'll swing and miss here, and it is 1-2. Hit 336 as an 18-year-old in the complex. He certainly has potential. Shoemaker trying to retire him first, though. And a 1-2 is... Oh, man. They're calling that a ball. That was absolutely in the zone. And Wes McGuire, the pitching coach, is... Letting Tyler Hovick hear it. Crowd pretty engaged here. 2-2. Swung on and missed, strike three. Everyone gets biscuits courtesy of Adam Shoemaker. And there is the all-important out number two. You know, there is nothing like free food to get the fans engaged here. And two away. So now Feliz has to put something in play here and reach safely to get that runner home from third, and he takes a home run cut, but is late to it, and it is 0-1. A 1. Feliz will sit on it and take it in the dirt. Feliz hitless today, 0-for-3. He's got 2 strikeouts and a deep flyout. He does have 2 of Salem's 4 home runs this week. 1-1 is waved at and missed. Shoemaker using that off-speed stuff with confidence here. That was perfectly placed, and Feliz just could not make contact. Trying to span a runner at third here with 2 away in the inning. 1-2 is outside. Tried to pin him again on that same kind of pitch. Runner on third, 2 away. The lefty Shoemaker fires. 2-2. It's grounded over to third. McGee backhands. He will throw to first and picked up by Exito to retire the side. A leadoff double, but nothing more. Salem leaves a man 90 feet away. They go to the bottom of the eighth. Green Jackets looking for more insurance here. We'll keep it here for the miracle shot this half inning. Green Jackets late when we come back.
Slowly move, and he gets further and further away as they get a little tougher. So let's see, doing not too bad, moving on.
Now back to the Green Jackets. Left fielder number 36, Kay Connor.
We're here in the bottom of the eighth as the truck has to get off the field from the miracle shot. It is Cade Kern in to lead it off. Michael Valera in to work, trying to keep the deficit at two for Salem. Green Jackets 3 outs away from a fifth consecutive victory. It'll be their longest win streak of the season. First pitch, fastball up and in at 94. Kern so far today 0 for 2, walked and was caught stealing his last time up. 1-0 is hit high in the air down the right field line, but it will get into the stands. Green Jackets, 3 runs in the first, and then they scored an insurance run in the bottom of the seventh. They did leave 2 men aboard. Augusta has left 7 men in scoring position today. And the 1-1 is popped up on the right side of the infield. Second baseman, shortstop, and right fielder all there. And Jostinson Garcia, the right fielder, will make the catch.
Now for the Red Sox, number
47,
Michael Valera.
Valera, a 6.18 ERA. Green Jackets scored 3 times on him in an inning in the third, back on the Friday game between these two teams. This one swung on and missed. 2 walks and 1 strikeout for Augusta in that game. A 1. Boucher takes up and away. One pitch is in the zone. Breaker there. Just 4 hits today for the Green Jackets. It's not been an offensive showing for anyone out of the top 3 in the order. Batters 4 through 9, all hitless so far. 1-2, taken strike 3, called on the outside edge. Second strikeout for Boucher today, and now 2 away. A single and a walk for Tavares, two hits for McGee, and a hit for Grady with 2 driven in. Otherwise, the rest of the order has been hitless so far. Celedonio is 0-for-2 with a walk, 2 strikeouts for him, batting with no one aboard. One cracked foul down the left field line. A 1. Breaking ball swung on and missed. Valera trying to work a quick frame here and get Salem up to the plate where they will be facing a different arm in the top of the ninth. Someone who will be going for a save. We'll see who it is after the break. Oh, 2. Taken just low. Another fast-moving game. Only 2 hours and 10 minutes into this one. 1-2 pitch at the feet. It'll even up at 2-2. Yesterday, just 2 hours and 6 minutes for a 9-inning game. Salem was held to just 5 base runners. The big factor in that one. 2-2 is skied in the air on the right field line. It'll get out of play. If this result holds, Shoemaker would be in line for his first professional win. Two, taken inside and it hits the umpire. The count will go full. Catcher got crossed up there and just completely missed the ball, and it hit Tyler Hovick in the waist. Three, two. Chopped off the plate. It dies on the infield. Valera, the pitcher, fields his throw to first. It is skipped out of the dirt nicely by the first baseman James and decided to retire. So Leonio nearly beat that one out. But the Green Jackets go down in order on a flyout, a strikeout, and a ground out. Green Jackets look to close it out in the top of inning number 9. As we come back, can they make it 5 in a row?
For the early to rise road trippers, the late night truck drivers, or even the bucket list checking baseball fans, your Wyndham is waiting, no matter who you are, where you're going, or why. With 24 trusted brands to choose from, like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, there's a hotel by Wyndham for everyone. Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, the official hotel of minor league baseball. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Only one local health system is bringing the medicine of tomorrow to our local community today. AU Health has the advantage of being the only academic medical center in our community. For you, that means access to the latest treatments and technology to get you and your loved ones the care you deserve. Whether it's at AU Medical Center, Georgia Cancer Center, Children's Hospital of Georgia, or our dozens of clinics and centers around the CSRA, AU Health is your trusted healthcare partner.
Here in the top of the ninth, Green Jackets leading by a pair. 4-2 the score. And into the game for Augusta is Nolan Martinez, looking to notch a save. Two-run cushion here with Stanley Tucker in to lead it off. First pitch to the righty is up and in. Tucker singled and scored his last time up. Martinez has one save on the season. 65 and a third innings of work for the California kid. 1-0 is grounded foul down the left field line. Picked up the save against Charleston, and not a conventional save by any means. He went four innings of work, the 12-out save, and that is his lone save of the season. Typically more of a middle innings reliever. He'll miss outside here. It's 2-1. He'll have Tucker, Mexicano, and Garcia, 8-9-1. One pitch is a fastball for a strike on the inside edge. Last time and last week, Martinez against the Charleston River Dogs had some really good off-speed stuff. He kept guys off balance with his breaking ball and worked it to both sides of the plate. Two-two. Taken. There was that breaking ball. That slider, but it was taken outside for a ball. The pitch is taken, strike three called, and Tucker knew it. Started walking to the dugout before Tyler Hovick had rung him up. And a critical out number one here in the ninth. One away from Mexicano, who has had a good day today. 2-for-3 with an RBI and a double. Singled his last time up. First pitch to the righty. He checked his swing. They appeal up the line, and he did not go around, according to Frank Jones. Lots of kids stuck around for the conclusion of this game. And ready to run the bases after the fact. 1-0 is hit softly towards right field. Verdung leaves. He can't get there. It lands in no man's land for a base hit. A three-hit day for Mexicano. Now the tying run comes to the plate in the form of Jostingson Garcia. Garcia is 0-for-3, two ground outs, a strikeout, and a walk back in the first.
Frank Miller and Stevenson Garcia.
Braves in action tonight in about an hour. Red Sox up 8-1 on the Royals right now, the parent club of these two teams. As this one's grounded foul down the first baseline. It's 0-1 on Jostingson. We'll probably see his brother Johanofren tomorrow catching in the finale unless they go with Enderso Lira. Tomorrow will be the last home game of the year for Augusta and the last road game of the year for Salem. Time is called here because a ball dropped onto the left field warning track and Cade Kern had to go pick it up. A one in the zone for a strike. And it's 0-2. Good work there on that breaking ball. And Martinez now in strikeout territory. He kind of leading off at first. The 0-2 pitch is hit to right field. Celedonio heading back towards the track. He's going to have it go over his head. Runner rounding second, heading to third. They'll put the brakes on, but now the tying run 180 feet away on the double for Jostingson Garcia. And a big chance now for John Frank Salazar, who has two hits today. He's got two singles and RBI. Reached on an error his last time up and hit into a double play. Ready on ready matchup. Infield back. And the pitch down and away. 16 runs batted in for Salazar this season. Five homers all in the last 4 weeks. He represents the go-ahead run here. Top of the ninth inning, tying run on second. 1-0 is sliced foul off the end of the bat into the stands. Everyone resets. Bullpen up and active. 1-1 is tipped into the mitt. And it's 1-2. No one throwing, just trying to will Martinez on here from the sideline. Salazar at the plate. James is on deck, who is hitless today. 1-2 is grounded up the middle. Martinez has it. They've got the man caught between first and third. And they will allow the run to score and take the out, which is the smart play there, rather than risk filling up the bases. Martinez will eliminate the possibility of a productive out. They'll keep the trailing runner at second. And now it is a one-run game as it'll go down as an RBI for Salazar, his second of the day. A 1-3 put out. Garcia stays at second. Mexicano scores. I think the numbers would probably advise in favor of that short out. Martinez now can just focus on the batter. Tying run on second, James at the plate with a 1-0 count. A fly out, a ground out, a strikeout, and a walk for him today. Green Jackets leading 4-3. 1-0. Grounded to short. Charging Tavares. He will throw to first, and it's kicked out of the dirt, and the ball game is over. Tavares' throw skipped up, but Exposito did a great job to dig it out. And the Green Jackets win their fifth consecutive game, their longest winning streak of the year, make it eight consecutive wins over the Red Sox. They continue to dominate their Virginia rivals. They take this one by a score of 4-3. That'll bring us to our Easy Go post-game show as we bring to you our it guy of the game. It'll go to the debutante, Mitch Ferris, who went 4 1/3 innings of scoreless work in his first start. He struck out 7. The winning pitcher in this one will be Shoemaker, who goes 3 2/3. He gives up 2 runs on 6 hits while fanning a pair. No walks for him. And the Green Jackets do very well to keep themselves ahead. They get out hit 11-4. Green Jackets will give the play of the game, presented by WOW, to Jace Grady, whose RBI double really set the tone back And he set the tone with a double in the first inning, then scored on a box, put Augusta up 3-0. The insurance run driven in by Cam McGee ended up being very crucial as the final score ends up being 4-3. Martinez picks up the save, his second of the season. We don't know who's going to start tomorrow for Augusta. It's officially TBD and have absolutely no idea who we're going to see. So with that in mind, we don't know who's going to start for Salem either. We'll figure it out, I suppose. We'll play it on the fly. Final home game of the year tomorrow night. 6:05 start time here on Dally Live and the Green Jackets Radio Network. Shoemaker with the win. He improves to 1-7. Mullins with the loss falls to 0-1. And Martinez picks up the save, his second of the season. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. It is Be a Fan Appreciation Night, Hawaiian themed, as it's Kids Run the Bases Day this evening. Fireworks tomorrow, but we hope to see you out at SRP Park tomorrow evening. Green Jackets win 4-3. They take their fifth in a row. They can go to the sweep tomorrow afternoon.